Hello, my name is Pete Edgerton from Your Harrogate Radio, which you can listen to via this website, yourharrogate.co.uk, if that's where you are, or maybe you're listening via your favourite podcast location. Either way, thank you for being with us. Last time on the O'Connor Chiropractic Podcast, we had Dr. Jason O'Connor talking about natural health versus medical health.
It's not ever a conversation of one versus the other, which a lot of people think. They're two very different areas of health that need to be used at different times.
Now in this 12th and final episode, Dr. Jason O'Connor is getting set to celebrate 20 years in the business. I've been along to the clinic on Station Parade in Harrogate to have a chat about that anniversary, but also about the history of chiropractic care.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. I'm surprised they've not made a film out of it, but it started in 1895. That's when it was discovered. And, you know, it wasn't really invented because of, say, it's to do with the principle of health and how the body heals. But it was a guy called D.D. Palmer, and his first adjustment was on a janitor called Harvey Lillard. And this janitor had an injury, so they'd fallen and I think hit his head, and afterwards he was deaf. And had been deaf for 15 years. Now, D.D. Palmer was an interesting guy. He was like a healer. He looked at magnetic healing, looked at different aspects, and he was actually driven into this field of health and healing because of the death of his wife. So his wife died suddenly when she was quite young, leaving him with two young children. And after that, his mission was like, why did she die? Because it wasn't an injury or trauma, she just passed away. And he was like, well, she was, you know, eating the same food, drinking the same water, breathing the same air. Why are we healthy and why did she die? So that was what his motivation was, out of love, really. And this took him down this path. And he met Harvey Lillard in the small town of Davenport in Iowa. And he deducted that, well, if a trauma brought this deafness on, maybe kind of a physical intervention could bring it back. So he had a look at the guy's head, and he felt his neck, and he found what he thought was a bump along the spine. So at the time, he did a very crude kind of adjustment, pushed this bump pretty hard, basically, and lo and behold, this guy's hearing came back. So, you know, this is after 15 years of him not hearing. So he thought, wow, I've discovered the cure for deafness, as you would, because there was no knowledge of the spine, and there was no x-rays or anything like that. But he then advertised then and told everyone that he could cure deafness. So all these deaf people came along, and he did the same thing on them, but obviously none of the hearing came back, but all these other things started changing, like headaches cleared up, their neck shoulder problems got better, breathing, heart issues. So he like said, oh, there's a connection between, you know, the health, the alignment of the spine and the health of the organs. So from there, that's how it grew. Now his son, B.J. Palmer, he went on to then develop it further, and he set up the Palmer College of Chiropractic, and that's where they started teaching chiropractic and developing the profession. But it was really fascinating, and it grew very quickly. So they had hundreds of people then graduate. Obviously, it wasn't a full university program like it is now, but they were doing these adjustments, and these people are getting healthier. And they were way ahead of the time, actually, because in the end, they actually started open up hospital chiropractic hospitals, and there was over 50 chiropractic hospitals that had thousands of people come in, and they gave chiropractic care, they gave nutritional advice, they gave exercise advice, so they were way ahead of the time.
And this was all in the 1800s?
Yeah. Well, this is early 1900s now, so his son then went on to develop it. So don't quote me, but I think it was around 1915 or something like that, the college opened and started teaching. But yeah, not long after, because it grew so quickly, because at the time in medicine, they were doing bloodletting, leeching. They were actually giving people mercury. Treating syphilis with mercury.
So like you say, I mean, it's so advanced. And I'm thinking, you know, going into the 1900s and going forward, I remember at school seeing an old advert that they used to have during wartime. And it said, for your throat's sake, smoke. So even the correlation between certain diseases and smoking hadn't even been thought of, and yet here's this guy who's cottoning on to, hang on a minute, there's a connection here between the health of the spine and the health of the body.
Yeah, and interesting, at the time Bayer, which is a big pharmaceutical company, they weren't then, but they then later upped, they were developing cough serum, and it was a bestseller, and they had two versions, an adult version and a version for children. It was liquid heroin, and the only difference between the child's one, it had more sugar in.
Wow.
So the kids would have it,
and that mad.
And it was just a lack of knowledge then. But that was at the same time as a chiropractic was actually giving exercise, nutritional advice, looking after the health of the nervous system, the spine, and they were getting fantastic results. And I think this is how the development of a turf war, because a lot of people say, "Oh, doctors don't like chiropractors, or chiropractors don't like doctors." So it actually started all the way back then. It was a big turf war at the time. And there's a guy called Rockefeller, everyone's probably heard of, and he was funding the medical schools because they were then going to be vehicles for these pharmaceutical companies. So there was a lot of push towards developing these medical schools and selling pharmaceuticals. And unfortunately, and these things happen in corruption, they started to put bad press about chiropractic, said it was dangerous, it was unethical, and they actually went so far as influencing the Senate and made chiropractic illegal. They said that chiropractors were practicing medicine without a license, and they actually round up all the chiropractors, arrested them, put them in prison. And so they tried to eradicate the profession, basically. So absolutely fascinating when you go back and look at
it. Like you say, never mind a film, this could be a Netflix series.
Yes, yeah, no. Later on, there was a big law case done, and there's a documentary out about it called Doctored, and it's all about you know, what happened. And chiropractic took them to the American AMA, the American Medical Association, to court and won the case because it was complete lies and defamation. But at the time, these chiropractors, obviously they were put in prison, they couldn't earn money, and they started adjusting the patients in the prisons.
I was going to say, did they start working on the
prisons?
So they
started working on the patients. The patients that they had started protesting outside, and they started to get them released. But then they said, okay, well, if you start up again, we'll fine you. But they kept working. A lot of them kept working. A lot of them stopped, because you imagine it's not a great thing of what profession you're going, oh, I'll do chiropractic, you get arrested and turn in prison. So it did nearly get rid of the profession. But thankfully, a lot of committed, passionate chiropractors at the time stuck with it, and they got them to release that kind of charge on them, so they then were allowed to practice eventually. But it took a while, but by that side, a lot of damage had been done, but eventually it's kind of built back up. But there's always been that rift between there. But that's, and a lot of doctors have no idea any of this happened.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
What about the actual name chiropractic? Where does that come from?
It's Greek, and it just means by hand. That's what chiro is, to practice by hand.
So it's quite straightforward.
Yeah. But it was interesting. People say, what's the difference between chiropractic and osteopathy? So the two of them was actually, they were one profession. So originally they were chiropractic. And then there was a bit of a split, like you do get in these organisations. So some of them believed that the blood system was running the body. That was the master control system, whereas the ones that went on to be just chiropractic, they said, no, it's the nervous system, the brain, the nerves, which was right, but they had this split. So like I say, it's a bit like rugby union, rugby league, the way of kind of describing it. It did actually start off the same. So that's why there's a lot of similarities. I think now the difference is, interesting, in 1895, that's when x-rays were first discovered. So then chiropractic actually really utilised x-rays early on, in terms of analysing the spine, finding out where the misalignments, what we call the subluxations are. So they were kind of one of the first ones to really utilize x-rays in that way, and then the training went down more that side. So as a chiropractor, we train for about 5 years, and we do radiology. There's a lot of the examination side of it, and I'm not saying one's better than the other, but they're just different in terms of the training and the philosophy. But often some of the adjustments, the physical corrections, are similar between the two professions.
What about yourself? Because you're coming up to 20 years in the industry.
Is that right? Which is scary. It's our reunion this year, and I can't believe I've been in fashion 20 years because it's raced by, and I feel I'm not even halfway. When I actually think about it and look back, it's been quite a progression. So I didn't really know what chiropractic was originally. I played a lot of rugby, and I think that got me into chiropractic because I had a few injuries and knocks, and I ended up having physio, and I looked at that as a profession, and I did observations there, and then it wasn't quite right for me. And then my principal at my college at the time, a guy called Dave Linnell, he said, oh, you should try chiropractic, I think that would really suit you. And I said, what's chiropractic? I actually went down to the university, the Welsh Institute of Chiropractic, which is in Cardiff, met with the professor there, had a long chat with her, and she was from New Zealand. Her and her husband actually took care of the All Blacks rugby team. So at the time, I was like, wow, that's impressive. So that really piqued my interest. So I ended up going down that path because of that, really. Almost fell into it. Got onto the course, studied. And then when I graduated, I thought I wanted to go into sports chiropractic. So I actually worked for a chiropractor who was into sports, saw a lot of professional sports, you know, footballs, rugby players, things like that. So I went down that path first. And then actually, after a while, I was like, my real passion and motivation is taking care of families. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I love sport, I like watching it, but it's just a game. You know, as you've got someone who they can't lift their children or their grandchildren, or they can't work, or there's no pleasure in day-to-day life, and then you get that back for them. You know, the motivation that was far greater, and that led me to seek more techniques. And I've done a lot over my 20 years. I've gone all over the world. I've travelled to all different continents and attended different seminars and courses, and really wanted to grow and develop, and spent a lot of time over in California, San Diego, did a lot of pediatric training. There's a lot more chiropractors in America. Obviously, it originated there. So I think there's heading towards 100,000 chiropractors, whereas over here, for the whole of the UK, there's about 3,000. So there's actually a lot more kind of training courses more readily available over there. And as I say, because in pediatrics, they've got quite a higher rate of developmental problems in children in the States, things like autism. And because of that, there's been a greater need for chiropractic care for that. So I heard about this organization and a couple of different chiropractors, particularly Tony Ebel, actually did a conference over in Edinburgh, and I heard him speak, and I thought, I need to find out more about this. So we went over to America for several years, went back and forth, trained, and that really grew my passion for children developmental problems, autism, and we then started seeing more children in the practice with these problems. So that's kind of gone that way. I've done Thompson Technique, which again, one of the original chiropractors, a guy called Clay Thompson, he developed this technique, and the benches that we use, which use these drops. So I did training and developed that, and that's kind of led me down different paths and opened up different doorways. And now I feel like, because I worked for someone for a couple of years, then I set up my own clinic, which was like a basic clinic. Then I actually moved to Harrogate. So I've been working in Harrogate about 18 years. And then we had a place on Colbath Road for, I think, like 16, 15 years. Then this place next to Waitrose on Station Parade came available. And as I'd kind of grown and developed these different skills, and now I saw this opportunity to open the practice here. And on site now, we've got a rehab suite, we've got Pilates studio, we've got another studio to do rehab and PT, and we have massage. So it's now quite very much like a bit like those original clinics that kind of opened up way back when chiropractic first started. We want to give people that overall advice. We're not saying chiropractic can fix and cure everything, but it's a great vehicle to get people back into optimal health and function. And we feel that then we, as on our journey, we can give them good nutritional advice, give them good exercise advice, and alongside the chiropractic care, take that transformation. And I've seen my success rate with patients go from when I started? Obviously, my knowledge base, my technique has got better, and seeing, well, what puzzles do we need to put together to help people get their health back? So we're in a really great place now. I feel like there's still more to grow and develop, but after 20 years in practice, I feel like we're in a real good place where when people come in, we can kind of pick out quite quickly what's going on, where they need to work on, and give them the right advice in the right areas to get them back to optimal health.
And with regards to you, and you say, you know, there's still room to grow. Doesn't matter what you do, you're always learning. Is there a specific area of the industry where you yourself want to improve, you want to explore more or not?
Yeah, definitely. I feel when I came out and I came into the, you know, the big wide world as a young, wet behind the ears chiropractor, I didn't know about the challenges, and I didn't know about this biasism towards what I call natural health and chiropractic, and I wasn't really prepared for that, and almost was shocked at how often chiropractic was poo-pooed and, you know, seen as second rate. I just look at the success I've had and the rate of improvement and the percentage kind of success rate we have is so high, and a lot of people come in quite skeptical because they've often tried everything else. It's last resort. They'll even say that they come in, I've tried everything, I'm coming to you as a last resort. Oh, thanks. But despite that, we still get fantastic results. But I didn't have that confidence early on. It was almost knocked quite a bit. So I'm at a stage where I'm so confident what we do, I want to try and then pass that on. So I think definitely looking at lecturing, teaching, you know, some of the, maybe not at university or maybe at university, but certainly when people just first come out of practice, to give them a better idea what they're gonna, so if I can pass on some of the mistakes or some of the experiences I've had over the last 20 years and get them to where they need to be quicker, I'd love to do that. So I think the Scottish College of Chiropractic has just opened up in Edinburgh, and that they're taking on their first students in September. So I've been a patron and supporter of that for several years, taking 10 years to get it off the ground, as often these things do. But they've got a wonderful setup there, wonderful philosophy of health and chiropractic, and I think maybe I could see myself one day, you know, helping, you know, lecturing, doing some teaching, you know, mentoring. I think you've got to inspire people, because if you say something to someone but you don't really believe it or you don't really walk the walk, I don't think they're inclined to follow you as much. Whereas I think if they look at you and someone sees an example, I always think of my kids will do what you do, whether it's good or whether it's bad. So I feel that I've got to, if I'm telling patients that this will help with their health, this will help, you know, they can easily just turn around and go, well, why are you not doing it? So I always think that I've got to, if I'm telling people about health, I've got a responsibility to myself. So like this morning before I came in, I was in the gym doing a workout, and it's not for vanity, it's more that, yeah, I've got to keep myself in good shape so I can keep doing what I'm doing. You know, I know if I want another 20 years, you know, in practice, I've got to look after my body, because yeah, it is quite physically demanding, and there's a lot of stress and impact through your body when I'm doing an adjustment. It comes through me. A lot of the techniques are very delicate and precise, but yeah, just generally being on your feet and moving people around all day, it takes its toll. So I work hard, both physically, mentally, getting enough rest, sleep, downtime, nutrition, all the advice that I give to my patients, I'm doing for myself and my own family as well.
Well, congratulations on making it 20 years in business. Here's to many, many more years as well for success for yourself, all the team here who I know work incredibly hard, and to your family as well. And thank you for taking time to record these podcasts.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add as well that proof is in the pudding, and I've never had one day off work with sickness in 20 years, and that's hand on heart. Yes, I've had a day off for holidays, but I've never had to say, right, I'm too ill, I'm too sick to get into work today. I'm not saying I've not had a cold or felt a bit under the weather, but I've always felt that get an early night, drink plenty of water, let my body heal, and I'll be ready to go the next day, and I always have been. And I want to keep that going, like I say, for another 20 years. And exactly the same for my children. My children, they've had chiropractic care since they're born. We try and best as you can with now. My son's come up to 11, so he's turned nearly already a grumpy teenager. But we do our best to make him follow good nutrition, good exercise. You know, he was in the gym with me this morning as well. So we, you know, they've not been to the doctors either, because their body's healthy and it's, you know, it's full of vitality. And that's what we're trying to get to across people, is it's fantastic medicine is there, it's like an emergency, but your body should be able to self-heal, self-regulate if we take good care of it. And it's, you know, guiding people towards that more, taking more responsibility for themselves. And that will take a lot of the stress off the NHS and the burden off them.
Well, if you would like to explore chiropractic care for yourself or for your family, then simply have a look at the website and see if Dr. Jason O'Connor and the team can work with you. It's o'connorchiro.co.uk.